Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come here this morning to hear from you. People don't want to hear from me, Lord. They want to hear from you. So, Lord, I just pray that you'll take me and use me as your instrument. May my lips be your lips. And anything that's not of you, Lord, just blow it away like chaff in the wind. Lord, I just want to thank you and ask for your strength and your courage to deliver this, what you've given me, in your power and with your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it's always daunting to stand here, as those that have done it will understand, because we are representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it is an onerous task, but it is one which is enjoyable in His strength, because it's only with His strength that I'll be standing here this morning, because I'm, believe it or not, I'm really a shy guy. Okay, I'd like to read to you from Romans 1, verses 18 to 25, and it's titled, God's Wrath Against Sinful Humanity. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the denigration of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. You know, that passage from Romans and Paul is so true when we look at what's happening in the world today. You know, I've entitled this passage, two titles actually, but the one I give Rob, which will be up there, is Who Knows Best, God or Man? And the other one would have been Who Knows Best, the Potter or the Clay? From Scripture it's clear that we worship a God of order. A God who is the greatest designer that there has ever been and ever will be, without exception. He made the heaven, the earth, all the stars and all the planets. You know, when we look at the diversity of this universe, it's mind-blowing. And there's none of us that can understand it fully. There's those out there who have got theories. And when you look at science, it's all series. It's all theory. You know, you think of everybody comes up and I believe or I think, but they believe in the wrong thing because they don't give the glory to the Creator, the living God. We often hear that some astrologer or other has discovered a new planet which they believe is capable of sustaining life, but as Captain Kirk would say, not as we know it. And the media get all excited about it. Well, let me just remind you that it was God who placed all those planets and stars in the heavens. And He knows them all. He's given them all names. Not the names that we know them by, but He knows them by name. Just as He knows us and He knows every hair on our head and every thought that we think and every word that we speak, even before we say it. So, you know, why is it that man thinks he knows best? It baffles me. You know, but the human race, we can be very arrogant, can't we? We can. At times we just think that we can do anything that we put our mind to. We can manipulate nature at our demand. Dolly the sheep, you know. We can create things. But what did they create? They created nothing but a mirror image of what God had created. Because they can only use what God has provided to do it. But we get so, give them so much praise and so much glory for it, and we forget that it all comes from God, the Creator. You know, some people even go as far as we see on the news of deciding that they need to change their gender. You know, they think they know better than God. That's what it's saying to me. They are questioning God's right. You know, and the sad thing is that society, and we're part of society, seems to go along with these wishes and accept them as diversity in this present age. Diversity, what a word that they use to make anything that they want acceptable. You know, but the diversity that God uses is the differences. And we should be celebrating the differences and not wanting to be something that we are not. And you know, I think it's sad that even parts of the church accept this without even considering. They go on about it's human rights, but the sad thing is that the church doesn't even think for one minute and consider what God's rights are. Let's look what Isaiah says about God's rights in Isaiah 29:16. It says, "You turn things upside down, and as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, 'You did not make me'? Can the pot say to the potter, 'You know nothing'?" You know, I believe that's what we're saying to God when we accept things which aren't designed by Him and the purposes for which, put to the purposes which He didn't plan. It's true that there have been many advances over the last 100 years in the production of food with chemical additives, and the feed that we feed our animals to get them to grow faster so that there's more meat and more profit, you know. But that's our inner man, our sinful man, wanting to make the best that we can and trying to improve on what the Lord provides for us. And I think we fall down there a lot. We can enjoy whatever we want, yes, but have you ever considered the price? There is a price to pay for everything in this life. Every action has got a reaction, and everything has got a cost. You know, society today, we want to grow everything. We want everything that we desire, and we want it now. We want it immediately. We don't want to wait for it. We want to push it on. You know, but that's not God's way. God says, everything in my will. My will be done in His time. And that's what we've got to rely on, is His time. Because He knows the timing. The timing is best, as Roy's already prayed this morning. You know, His timing is perfect. His ways are secure. Because if He left it to us, we would be totally lost. Because we don't know where we're going from one day to the next. We don't even know whether we've got tomorrow. We haven't got a promise of tomorrow. We've got hope for today. Yeah? And we've got nothing for tomorrow. He doesn't. He's given us today our daily bread. But we want it every day. And we want butter on it. And jam. And a cup of tea along with it. Or a cup of coffee. You know, but people go further than that. They want the latest fashion, they want the latest advances in technology, the best houses that they can have, the best cars that they have, or the car of their dreams, their holidays that they want. But, and a lot of them don't even consider whether they can afford it. Because of the Mr. Plastic, they'll go and they'll max out on their card and get themselves into all sorts of problems. And that's not what the Lord wants. He wants to free you and make you free, not tie you down and burden you. But the man thinks he knows best. Just use the plastic. Don't worry about it. Pay it off. You can pay it off. You only have to pay off the monthly premiums anyway. And don't worry about the interest. It won't matter. You know, and then 30 years down the line, you find out you owe 20 times what you borrowed in the first place. And then some. But it's easy to say, I know, but it's something that we need to consider. Everything has got a price. You know, if we only wait till it's affordable, then we can have our desires. Because God doesn't want to deny you things, but he wants you to have it in your time when the time is right. And that's what God's plan is for you and I. You know, but man forgets that they need God's provision. I watched Country File last week, and there was a couple of farmers on complaining about their crop returns this year because of the lovely hot weather that we all enjoyed this summer and the lack of rain. They were saying that the carrot crop was down by 30%, potato crops, all the root crops were down, going to be down by about 30%, as well as the grain, because of looking at the heads of grain and they weren't as plump as what they should be and what have you. You know, and really that's because man failed to provide what God didn't. Because if that farmer had watered his field the way the Lord normally does with his rain, he would have had the same crop. But then you get the shortage of water as well, wasn't there? So man can't outdo God. God's plans are pure and purpose. And we look at John 10 and 10b. It's the latter part of the verse. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You know, and that's what God wants for each one of us, to have a full life and to give him the honor and the worship that he deserves. I'm sure you're all aware of the parable, I've spoken about it before, in Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus paints a picture of high servant should act and remember that if we have accepted the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, that's what we are. We are servants of the living God. Whether you like it or not, that's what we are. And Jesus is our servant. He came as a servant king. If you read the Gospels, he tells us he came as a servant king. In the parable, each servant was given a different amount of talents, or if you prefer, responsibilities, in order with their relationship between them and the master. Each was expected to use what was given to them to produce a profit. Put it to good use. The same is true for each one of us, to enable us to carry out the plan that he has for our life. God has given each one of us gifts or talents, whichever you want to call them. I prefer gifts. Now, we don't get the same job lot of gifts. And some people wonder, well, why? Why don't we? Simple. Because we wouldn't know what to do with them if we got them. It's like if you got all your wishes and you get people out there wishing to win the lottery when it's a rollover, 80 odd million or whatever, and if they won it tomorrow, a lot of them wouldn't know what to do with it. They'd put it in a bank so as nobody could steal it from them. And, you know, they might waste it on various stuff, but they wouldn't really know what to do with it. So I always say, be careful what you wish for. Yeah. But God gives us the gifts that we need to do the job that he wants us to do. He wants us to be capable of doing the job that he's given to us to do. And you know, you might say, well, what job does he want me to do? All you got to do is read what it says in the gospel. Once you're saved, to go into the world, preach the gospel, and introduce him to those that don't know him. And that's all our ministry is to make God's love known to others who haven't as yet met with him. It's important to recognize that we all have different gifts, and we should use them to glorify God. We are told in 1 Corinthians we are part of one body, and just as a body requires different parts working in unison, as 1 Corinthians 12, commencing to read from verse 27, we are told, "Now you are part of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having the gifts of healing, those able to help others, those having the gift of administration, and those speaking in different tongues. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greatest gift, love." You know, the number or the dimension, if you like, of gifts or talents that we have are not the main thing. It's how we use them. It's no good having a big bank balance just sitting in the bank, especially nowadays, you're not getting much interest on it, and you don't use it to the purpose which you've been given it in the first place. Because all good things come from the Lord, and they're given to us for a purpose to use to glorify him and to build his kingdom. You know, so I think it's important that we remember and ask ourselves, do we use the gifts that the Lord gives us as he intends? Or do we use them to display our own importance, to show how wealthy we are, what big men or women we are? I truly hope that the answer to that is certainly not. We're all individuals, and we've all got different personalities, and we've all got different abilities. You know, and those abilities that we've got are provided by one person, and that's God. And he gives us the gifts that we are required to do, to work within our ability, in keeping with his will, because he doesn't want to overburden us. He doesn't want to make it a burden to trudge through. He says that his yoke is light. Yeah, and he will put along with you. He's going to lead. He's going to be the lead. And all we've got to do is follow. And we've got to do it in keeping with his will if we hope to fulfill the plan that he has for our lives. Therefore, it's important that we each recognize what our gifts are and ensure that we use them to his glory. If you don't recognize your gifts, ask God to show you. And he will. Remember his promise that ask and you shall receive. You know, God is the great provider. He provides for all our needs and then some. And he will never ask us to do anything that you cannot do with his help. That's the caveat, with his help. So don't be afraid when you hear his voice telling you to do something. Step out for him, do it in faith, and you will receive his blessing. I won't pretend that it'll be easy. God doesn't say it's going to be easy, but if you work and walk in his way, and His will, it will be rewarding. You know, Scripture tells us that God is no man's debtor. If we listen to His voice and do His will in His strength, then we can be sure that we'll not get big-headed about it, but the glory will be given to God. I draw a lot of comfort from Christian music, and some of the music today I found really uplifting. Thank you, Rob. It was really uplifting, and it actually fits in quite well. It's funny how the Holy Spirit works when from different directions and draws everything in together. But I get a lot of comfort from Christian music and the truth contained within it. And it seems to stick in my mind a lot easier than a lot of scripture, although it is scriptural, if you know what I mean, but we're just in passages from the Bible trying to recall them, where they're from. But when they come in a hymn or a little chorus, they stick in my mind, and at times whenever I'm feeling down or that, there, the Holy Spirit will just convict me, and the one will pop into my head, and I'll be singing away, and it just lifts your whole spirit. And I'm sure that you'll have come across exactly the same thing, because I'm nothing, nobody's special. But when I was working on this, an old favorite of mine came into my head, and I know you all know it. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. You know, this hymn, I believe, is a good guide as to how we as Christians should relate to our Lord and understand that we can rely on Him in all circumstances. It also implies that we need to maintain a daily 24/7 open line of communication through prayer with Him and ourselves. If we expect to grow and become mature in our faith, if we expect to grow as we're supposed to be more like His Son Jesus, just as Scripture desires. The important thing that we need to understand is that it's not, as I've said before, a matter of what talents or gifts that we've got. We need to remember that God has given them to us. And just as the master in the parable made a judgment on the performance of his servants and how to divide out his talents to them to look after, you know, the Lord does exactly the same with us when He's given us talents. He doesn't give us something that we can't cope with. He gives us something that He knows that He has given us and empowered us to do. You know, it reminds me that I need to rely more on God to direct my steps if I'm going to keep on the right path. Yes, God has a plan and a purpose for each of us. And as we have already read, and Paul pointed out in one passage we read from 1 Corinthians, you know, it's not a matter of how big or small our talents or gifts might seem, but it's that they must be important. Otherwise, why would God have given us them? Daniel's got a little pull in his hamstring. He didn't even know he had a hamstring till he got it. But aren't we all like that? How many of us give our back a thought until we get an ache in it? Yeah? Or our teeth a thought until we get toothache? You know, but that's the way we are. Because we don't give it all back to the Lord at times. And the Lord knows we're like that. But that's why He gives us what we need to deal with everything. And when He invests in us, He expects a return. It might be hard for us at times to recognize the importance of the gifts and how they fit in to God's will and His purpose for our lives. Often it's only when we look back where we can see where God's hand was in our lives And we don't need to work for salvation, as has already been said this morning. You know, once you're saved, you're saved. And your salvation's great. But the work that you do for the Lord is the fruits of your labor. And as the Lord says, his word will not return to him void, and he's no man's debtor. So as part of your payment, if you like, for doing his good works, he gives you blessings, added blessings, bonuses. Yeah, he cheers you up. He picks you up when you're dying. Yeah, and we all need a touch from the Lord. You know, I love the way Paul uses the picture of the body to emphasize the need of unity within the church, to help us to understand that no matter how small a part we are given, if we do our best to concentrate on and do our individual parts, then it frees up other people to do theirs. Because there's nothing worse, as you know, if you watch a football game, I'm a football fan. If you watch a football match, you see young kiddies playing. And as I say, they represent the unsaved. And you see the ball, and you've got 22 players all around that ball, and they're all fighting over who's going to get it, because they've got no concept. They haven't been taught about positions and maintaining discipline and that they're on. And you know, that's the world today. And it's a good vision of the world, because they're all chasing the ball. They're all after what they can get. But you look at the professionals. I mean, there's a good match on today. I know Chick will love it when he watches it. Man United and Wolves, which ended in a 1-1 draw. But you could see the discipline, where they were holding their place and they were working for each other. And because one was working for each other, not everybody's got to cover the 50 yards or 100 yards of the pitch. They're all doing it in their little bits. And they were able to maintain that pressure for 90 minutes, and they came out drawing with, you know, one of the top teams in the division. And they've only just come up into the division this year. But it's a good thing to remember that if we all do our little bit, you know, the Lord has given us those little bits to do so that nobody needs to be fatigued and taken out of their place. You know, we need to be a fellowship, and we need unity in the fellowship. Because if we don't have unity, then what do we have? Disunity. And what's disunity? Disharmony. And the Lord doesn't want that. Each of us needs to support and encourage and learn from each other, realizing as we mature in the faith that God may add additional levels of responsibility. But if he does, he will increase the gifts that he gives us so that we are able to meet those new challenges. There is a very important point to remember in the statement Jesus made in the parable of the talents to the servants who used their talents wisely. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. You know, what words, what great words. And I'm sure that, like me, those are the words that you want to hear when you stand before Jesus, when he comes to call us for his own. And I want to encourage you this morning in a couple of verses from Proverbs, and it's Proverbs 3:5-7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. We can be confident that the God that we worship is the great I Am. He is the creator and the finisher of our faith. He is in control, and he will in all circumstances provide and meet all our needs, and then some. There can be no doubt about who knows best, the potter or the clay. The one who knows best is God, our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are the great I Am, the designer and the creator of all. Lord, we thank you for your gift of love, your Son, and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we can approach your throne of grace and prayer. Lord, we want to thank you for the abilities, the gifts that you give each one of us to help us through this troubled world, and to meet all the tribulations that may be placed in our path. Lord, we thank you that you use all the difficulties of this world to strengthen us and to encourage us and to just to build us up, because without exercise we would go weary and weak. Lord, we thank you for the ability that you give us to work for you and for the support that you supply. Father, I want to ask that you give us a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit this morning, that you will strengthen our will and determination and help us to keep on keeping on, to keep up the good fight in a certain knowledge that although the warfare against the evil one goes on, the battle has already been won by you. Hallelujah, Lord. We just thank you this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen.